Belgic Confession of Faith, Article 24, Part 2. I show I am sanctified by doing good works. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you were chosen by God, you were called by God, and then you were justified by God. After you were justified, God started to sanctify you. And you know and you show you are sanctified when you start to do good works. But you have to know what good works are. So today you will hear from God's word what are really considered good works and how you are enabled to do them. Our headings are the definition of good works, the limitation of good works, and the motivation for good works. Our goals are that in order to know and show you are being sanctified, which brings great honor to your Savior and, of course, rewards to you, that you will endeavor to know what good works are and then do those good works. Let's read together the second part of Belgic Confession, Article 24, that's in your sermon notes. Together, therefore we do good works, but not to merit by them, for what can we merit? Nay, we are indebted to God for the good works we do, and not he to us. Since it is he who works in us, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Let us therefore attend to what is written. When we shall have done all the things that are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which it was our duty to do. In the meantime, we do not deny that God will reward good works, but it is through his grace that he crowns his gifts. Moreover, though we do good works, we do not found our salvation upon them, for we can do no work but what is polluted by our flesh, and also punishable. And although we could perform such works, still the remembrance of one sin is sufficient to make God reject them. Thus, then, we would always be in doubt, tossed to and fro without any certainty, and our poor consciences would be continually vexed if they relied not on the merits of the suffering and death of our Savior. I know that's a little bit complicated, but it's very important that we grasp this. And hopefully as we work through this, you will receive the knowledge and ultimately the blessing from God. Definition then of good works. How does the scripture define good works? Some of this will be reviewed, but it's important to commit these to memory. First of all, good works, for them to be called good works, must proceed from faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. And that verse in Romans 14 is very important to remember as well. Verse 23, together. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. So if you don't trust in Jesus, if you are not a Christian, your works are unacceptable. Even the most splendid thing you could do, saving someone's life or helping out the brothers in Bahamas who suffered from that devastating hurricane a few weeks back. Or you could perform the most complicated life-saving cancer surgery. Or you could rescue a baby from a burning building. Or you could give wise counsel to someone who's depressed. If you don't believe in Jesus, that good work is nothing. It is not considered a good work. In fact, even more, God will be angry with you if you try to do those good works so you could please him. Helping the poor, God could be angry with you. Why? If you don't do it from faith. If you think that somehow you are good enough to offer that work and that God should accept it. Remember what we said, what we read in the second paragraph today. It is even punishable because you're trying to please God when your heart isn't right with Him. That's contempt. Remember when the priest would go into the holiest place, if he had sin in his life, if he had not made confession for his sins and made sacrifices, God killed him. And that's what we deserve if we try to go to God without faith in Jesus Christ. Furthermore, if you don't have the full persuasion or conviction that the work you're doing is the right thing to do, even if it's a good work, and you still do it, it becomes sin. And I'll give you an example of what I mean here. If you think, for example, that spanking your child is sin, it is not sin. God commands us to do that. But if you think it is sin, and then you still do it, even though it's a good work, in the technical sense, God does not accept it as a good work from you. Because you would be a hypocrite thinking something is wrong and then doing it and hoping that He would bless you on top of that. Doesn't work that way. So the good work of spanking a child can become a sinful work because it's not done with a clear conscience. Others might call it a good work because they see the outward actions, but God doesn't call it a good work. Because a good work requires a good heart. If you remember that, that forms the foundation of what a good work is. The work that you must show if you are being sanctified. The second basis of a good work is that a good work must be done according to the law of God. According to the law of God. And not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. Let's first read Matthew chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. This is in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is correcting the misuse of the law by the Pharisees. Let's read together. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So it's got to be done according to the law, not because people like it. So the illustration I used earlier, when you have Prime Minister Trudeau and Bernie Sanders in the States, where they're promising, we'll give you money. That might seem like a good work, but that's not according to the law of God. They'll be stealing from children and grandchildren in order to do this. And there's no other way to see it. The Pharisees similarly pretended to obey the law, as if they were really following the law, but they ignore the spirit of the law. And you know, we're sort of trained that way as well. We're trained to be nice. If you work in a store or in some office doing business, you're trained to be nice, which is like the letter of the law. It doesn't matter if you're nice. As long as you are nice, the people will continue to hire you. But that's not what God expects. You have to be nice in your heart. So when you're speaking to a customer, you don't give the spiel what you've been trained to repeat. But it will flow naturally from inside that you want to be helpful to other people. That's what the law requires. Not just an outward obedience, but an inward desire to please God in the right way. So no one or no work is considered to be a good work if it were not done according to the true spirit of the Ten Commands. which is to love God and to love your neighbor. This is the only real good deed. Third basis of a good work. Good works, for them to be called good works, must be done to please God and to bring glory to Him. So you must bring glory to God by your good works in every area of your life. If you're nice to someone, it's not because you want them to be nice back to you. It must not be that. It must be because you want them to praise God for you, to thank God for what God did through you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Together, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's the purpose. So you help the poor, you send money to help the people in Kenya who are struggling, or India. Why do you do it? So that they will glorify God. They will say, how good are those people that God worked in their hearts in Canada that they're willing to help us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Together, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. People see you, they say, praise God. Look at what God did. So when you do these good works from faith in Jesus Christ, you truly believe in Him, when you do it based on the law of God, not the letter of the law, but the intention and spirit of the law, and when you do work for the glory of Christ, you not only show that Christian maturity, it shows you're growing, you're being sanctified, but you also cause other people to glorify God as well. Anyone then who is being sanctified will do good works. Furthermore, the one who is being sanctified, and one of the chief good works that you can do, is to lead others to Christ so that they will bring glory to God as well. Yeah, there are rewards for doing this, but you do these things from love. Love for God. This is all part of your sanctification process. But there are limitations of good works. There are limitations. You have to do good works. Good works don't save you, but you have to do good works. You're expected to do good works. But there are limitations. What are those limitations? Now, there are some people who like to say that if you obey the laws in the Old Testament, or the Jews obeyed the laws, that they were saved by keeping the law. Nope. You're not saved by keeping the law. First thing, it doesn't matter how good you might think you're obeying the law, you can't keep the law to please God. Even if you try to keep the law, you can't do it because the heart has not been changed. Let me give you an example of what the Lord Jesus said to us in John chapter 14, verse 6. Now let's read that together. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So where are the good works? No way. The only way to God is through Jesus Christ. Now we live in a time where people, one of the big things you hear is karma. When you do something good, good will come back to you. When you do something bad, bad will come back to you. Is that true? It's not true at all. The Bible annihilates this false teaching of karma. It says it is God and only God who can be good to you. Only His good work through Jesus Christ can save you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 then, together. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So, Is it good work? No, you can't be saved by good works. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Why is it that you can't be saved by good works? Verse 10 and 11 together. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. So you can't do good works because you don't go to God. You can't go to God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Positively then, together. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Only God can make you do good works. So, everything good you have, you've received. Even your ability to do good comes from God. This is so much against the natural human tendency. Man has so much ego and he thinks so much about himself. But when you read the scriptures, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. You can't get to God. The people try that. They tried good works to get to God, but it doesn't work. Second limitation of good works. While your good works don't merit your salvation, you must respond to your salvation by doing good works, all kinds of good works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says together, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. To put it bluntly, for this purpose you were born. For this purpose you were saved, to do good works. So the good works don't save you, but you are saved to do good works. That's a limitation on what it is. There's a third thing. Good works are not only physical activities, but inward and outward attitudes, spiritual activities as well. And look at Titus chapter 2, verse 7, before we look at some examples. Let's say together, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. So sometimes people evaluate good works by how much money you give to the poor. And that can be a good work. Or maybe how much time you spend with somebody who's going through a hard time. Or maybe you visit someone in the hospital. And those are good works. But it's much more than that. It's much more. Integrity, having integrity is a good work. Showing reverence to God is a good work. Being incorruptible, not taking a bribe is a good work. Some more examples. If you refuse to join others in stealing, or if you refuse to join with your friends in school to tease another student, that is not a physical work, yet it is considered a good work. Not doing something is considered a good work. Not teasing friends when others are, or people when other friends are doing it, that's considered a good work. And one that's even a little bit more personal for you young people. If you have a bad attitude towards your parents, even if they don't see when you pout, even if they don't hear when you mumble against them, it's not something you do, right? They don't see. But God considers that a bad work. Your attitude can be, if it's a wrong attitude, it's considered a bad work. On the other hand, if you cheerfully do your task, your parents assign you, your job is to clean up the kitchen. If you do the task, you get a reward. And if you have the right attitude when you do the task, you get a reward. You get double blessing. See, God looks at the attitude as well. So good works are not just physical things, but attitudes as well. Then, number four, good works don't come naturally to anyone, even to Christians. You need to be taught. Good works must be learned. Good works need to be practiced so that they can become part of your life. You have to let this sink into your hearts. This is not normal. Teaching your children are not good by nature. You have to train them to do good. Titus chapter 3 verse 14 together. And let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. You realize the responsibility then. You know, there are some people who think if you baptize their babies, they'll be fine. What a lie that is. Baptizing your baby is essential. That's a sin not to baptize your babies. But it's a whole lot more than that. It's to take the time to teach them so they learn to obey God. Idleness and insurgency, fighting against God, rebellion, those things come naturally. Hatred, hooliganism. Children can be bullies from the time they're very young. Those things come naturally. You need to learn with the help of God's word and God's spirit to do good works. We talked earlier about love. But how do you get there? You need to be taught. You need to teach a child to share. If you don't teach a child to share, what is the thing that you will hear the most from that child? Mine. You don't have to teach a child to say mine. Children are selfish. That's why you train. No, you have to learn to share. Why? The natural thing is to love yourself. But self-love is death. Self-love is sin. It's a mark. It's listed among some of the most gruesome sins in Paul's letter to Timothy. So save your children. Train them to stop loving themselves and to do good works. Well, what's the motivation for good works? Why would you want to do these things? We know there are limitations in what good works are. They can't save you, but you're expected to do them. What's the motivation? First of all, God assures you that if you are a Christian, you can do good works. God loved you and he restored your ability to love, and love comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 together. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. See, when God gives you a job, he doesn't say, well, tough, you got to figure out how to deal with it. He gives you the ability, he gives you the gifts, so you can do it. Remember, we said for work to be truly a good work, you have to have faith in Jesus Christ. So what does he do? He gives you faith. He gave you his law. He works in you to will and to do what is right. He does so by his word and by his spirit. So you are enabled. He assures you that you're able to do it. And then he encourages you to do good works. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says together, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. How does God work? Well, he could work directly through his spirit, or he could work through you to stimulate other people to do good works, to challenge them to be kind to others, to challenge others to share the gospel, to talk to someone who's struggling. They're not sure how they can serve in their Christian life. What's their part in the kingdom? Well, God works through Christians to stir them up. This also, of course, means that you shouldn't be angry with a brother or sister who gives you advice to do something better. Don't tell him that it's none of your business how I live my life, because it is his business. You know, Christians, we're not an island to ourselves. He is simply following the command to love you and to stir you up to do good works. That's what God expects. You are your brother's keeper. More, God rewards Christians who do good works. Now, you should do good works because it's the right thing to do. You honor your Savior. You are responding to the love that you have received. And that love is that self-sacrificing love. Jesus giving up everything to come to live and die for you. But the wonderful thing about serving the Lord is that he says, and when you obey me, I'll bless you on top of that. I've given you everything. I motivate you. I strengthen you. And then he said, you know what? I'm going to reward you for the good works that you've done. When a Christian does good, it's his duty. But God is pleased to reward. Look at Luke chapter 17, verse 10. Let's read that together. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. And now look at the reward. Matthew 25, verse 21. Together. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. This is most wonderful. You get a reward, salvation, for relying on what Jesus did for you and letting him move you to do good. And even if your work is not perfect, he's pleased out of grace to reward you. And if every Christian in all parts of the world does more good works, here's the thing. You know, you sort of think you only have a certain amount that you can give as a reward to others. And if many people do the same good work, you have to split up that amount of money or whatever you have. But that's not the problem with God. If everyone does all the good works they're supposed to do in the world, he's never short of rewards for you, because he has unlimited blessings that he could pass on to all people. And finally, God is honored and pleased when men do consistent good works. Remember, Matthew 5:16 says, together, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You are a city on a hill, whether you like it or not, and people are watching you. You show good works in your home, in your job, in a religious setting, as in worship. You show you are a Christian when you are listening to the preaching, when you pray, when you fast, when you help the poor, when you help a needy family. You show you're a Christian to your children and your spouse. And when they see you, they must say, thank God for you. Look at the work that God did in my child. Instead of saying, oh, I made so many sacrifices for my child. Look at what he has accomplished today. I'm glad I did it. Rather, you should say, look at what God did. In spite of my weakness, he was pleased to use an ordinary instrument to accomplish great glory for himself. Remember, good work should not be done for people to like you. Good work should be done for people to like God. If you keep that in mind, it will change when you do good works. Let's conclude. Your good works can't save you. Some people teach that, but they're wrong. You're only able to do good works, and you're commanded to do good works after you are saved. So what are good works? Good works are done. Remember the three things. They must proceed from faith. If you're not a Christian, you can't do good works. They must be done according to God's law, not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. And it must be done for the glory of God. It shouldn't be done for your glory, but for the glory of God. If you find that you are doing something because you want people to think highly of you, then that is not a good work. If you do a good work because you want people to love you, that is not a good work. Now, it's not saying that people wouldn't appreciate what you do. It's not saying that people won't love you because of what you do. It's saying that's not the purpose for which you do that good work. You are to do it to bring glory to God. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, here are the facts. God motivates you to do good works. He saved you. He secured you. But that was not enough. You had to go on further. You had to do good works to show that you were being sanctified by Him. Second, God equips you to do good works, even giving you the right desires to do them. And then He assures you through those good works that you are saved. Good works testify to your salvation. Third, God gives you brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ to encourage you. Children, you must encourage your parents. Thank God for what He's doing through them. Wives, you should encourage your husbands to do good works. Christians, encourage your pastor and your elders to do good work. Four, God gives substantial rewards if you keep His 10 laws in the right way. You can't lose when you serve the Lord. You simply get richer. So keep doing good regardless of the situation in your life, for that is what God has called you to do. Remember, number five, God is honored when you do good in front of others. For that purpose, you were made. For that purpose, you were remade in Jesus Christ. Finally, the one who is not a Christian cannot do good works. Period. Since good works are commanded, though, if you're not a Christian, you are in danger of hell. But you don't have to despair. If you're not a Christian, Christ can fix that problem if you ask Him to take away your sins and to fill you with His Holy Spirit, make you His child. Then He will enable you to do the good works that you're called to do. Let us pray. We pray, Heavenly Father, that You would continue the work of sanctification that You have started in our hearts. You chose us, You called us, You justified us, and now You're sanctifying us. Do that work. Help us to see Your sanctifying power in our lives by the good works You enable us to do. Let us be passionate for good works. Let us never stop doing good works. But let us know what truly good works are. Not how the world defines good works, but how You do. So may we be good students of Your law, so we will know what good works are and bring honor to Your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.